Today's message is obedience. It is the key to receiving. Obedience. It is the key to receiving. So let me ask you the question again. Think about it. Have you done what you've sensed God telling you to do? You know, if your mindset is, God, gimme, 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 this is my own life and I do it what I want, guess what? You are living as a rebel toward God. God does not bless a rebellious person, a prideful person. In the Word of God, it says in James 4:6 that God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. And some people have that mindset. Man, this is my life. I do with my life what I want to do with it. And there's people in the church, people who claim that they have been Christians for many years that have that mindset. Like a toddler. Gimme, gimme, gimme. This is my life and I do with it what I want to do with it. God doesn't bless that. That's a prideful attitude. Now, God, however, appreciates a humble and contrite heart. Psalm 51, verse 17 says this. Psalm 51, verse 17. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, you will not despise. So in other words, God appreciates a humble spirit, a person who is broken, moldable by Him, who will do what He's asking them to do. And God appreciates a heart that says, God, my life is yours, do with it as you please. God appreciates a surrendered heart to His will. That makes sense? God resists the proud, but He gives grace. He blesses the humble. See, your car is like an automobile. Think of your life. Your life is like an automobile. Let me restate that. Your life is like an automobile. Who is in the driver's seat of your life? Is it you or is it God? Who has the steering wheel of your life? Is it you or is it God? Is it Jesus? If you're sitting in the driver's seat of your life right now, if you've got the steering wheel of your life right now, guess what? Somebody else wants to be there. His name is Jesus. God wants to be behind the steering wheel of your life. He wants to be in full control of every part of your life. And He wants you to be surrendered to His will, to be obedient to what He is telling you to do. What is obedience? What is obedience? Obedience is hearing from God, knowing that God is speaking to you about a certain situation in your life, hearing and then doing what He is telling you to do. Obedience is hearing from God concerning any part of your life and then doing with your life what God is telling you to do. If God is telling you to do a certain thing, it's not like maybe I should. No, you must do without question what God is telling you to do. Now, obedience. A little story here from the speaker's quote book. And it says this. A little girl asked her friend if she could go on a picnic with her. Just a minute, I'll go ask my mother. When she came back, the friend told the girl that her mother said she couldn't go. The girl then said, ah, you probably didn't talk hard enough. Don't let your mother go. Your mother go with that. Go beg her some and then she'll probably let you go. Oh no, the friend answered. When my mother says no, she doesn't change her mind. She knows what's best for me and I'll do, so I'll do what she says. How many Christians should be like that, willing to take God, to take what God says, realizing that He knows what is best for us? Friend, I'm here to tell you today that God knows what is best for your life. God's mind is infinite. God sees so far ahead of you and of, He sees our lives till the very end. Right now, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years before you leave this earth, God sees the very end of your life. He sees the calling and the destiny that He has for you. And every little step we take now, today, determines the course of our life tomorrow. Should I say that again? Every little step that you take right now, today in your life, determines the course of your life tomorrow. You might think you know what's best for your life, but guess what? God knows better. See, if you're trying to walk a straight line with your life towards the finish line, you're trying to walk straight and God is telling you to do a certain thing, write a note to this person, make a phone call to this person, you know, stop eating that type of food, and you hear God speaking to you, but you turn just a little bit. And you keep going. And you hear God speak to you again, but you turn a little bit and you keep going. You hear God speak again, but you do your own thing, you turn around. Eventually, you'll do a 180 and you're going in the exact opposite direction that what God is wanting you to go in, and you won't fulfill His destiny and call. But God loves you so much. He's got a destiny for you. He's got a call for your life. He's got something He wants you to do. So every little step of obedience today determines you fulfilling the destiny that God has for you tomorrow. Is that making sense? Maybe today your life is not in the place you want it to be. Is it possible that God spoke to you concerning your job maybe 6 months ago at the beginning of the year, maybe to fill out 5 applications a week for work, and you haven't done so, now leaving you with no work? Is it possible that you sensed God telling you to save a certain amount of money every month so that you'd have a cushion to move into an apartment or to have your own vehicle, and you sensed God telling you to put a certain amount aside every month, and maybe you didn't listen to God's voice. You didn't obey what He was telling you to do, and hence, you're still in this place. And you seem to be stuck in this place. But God is saying, I've got more for you. I want to transition you out of here. This is a sending ground, but He's telling you to do certain things. And is it possible that you have not done what God has told you to do? Is it possible that God made you to feel to contact a certain person for work and you never did it? I'm telling you, every little step of disobedience causes us to remain stuck. But every step of obedience to what God is telling us to do prods us forward. Is that making sense? All right. Obedience. Let's talk about obedience for the next few minutes to what God is telling you to do. Obedience to what God is telling you to do brings what? It attracts what? Obedience to what God is telling you to do brings about blessing and provision in your life. You see, we can't see immediately the good our obedience brings about, but God does. You and our own finite minds, our limited minds, we may not be able to see right here and now the good that our little step of obedience will bring about, but God sees it. Is that making sense? Okay, let's turn to 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 1 through 15. I love this passage. You may have heard it before, but it bears repeating today. 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 1 through 15. Obedience, doing what God is telling you to do. Now Naaman was commander, 2 Kings 5, verses 1 through 15. Now Naaman was commander of the army of the king of Aram. He was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy. What is leprosy? Disease of the skin. Verse 2. Now bands from Aram had gone out and had taken captive a young girl from Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, if only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy. So Naaman went to his master and told him what the girl from Israel had said. By all means go, the king of Aram replied. I will send a letter to the king of Israel. So Naaman left, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of clothing. The letter that he took to the king of Israel read, with this letter, I am sending my servant Naaman to you so that you may cure him of his leprosy. As soon as the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his robes and said, am I God? Can I kill and bring back to life? Why does this fellow send someone to me to be cured of his leprosy? See how he is trying to pick a quarrel with me. When Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his robes, he sent him this message, verse 8. Why have you torn your robes? Have the man come to me, and he will know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to say to him, go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be cleansed. So God was speaking through whom to Naaman? He was speaking through the prophet Elisha to Naaman. Verse 11, but Naaman went away angry and said, I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, wave his hand over the spot and cure me of my leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than any of the waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed? So he turned and went off in a rage. It's amazing, isn't it?
Amen.
Let me ask you here today. Like Naaman, do you feel that you know better than God? Do you sometimes feel that you know with your life better than God does? Friends, that's a rebellious attitude. Naaman was dealing with the same thing. He's like, man, I just thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, Elisha, wave his hand over the spot and cure me of my leprosy. This is what Elisha was wanting. He thought he knew better than God. He thought that he knew the method of healing better than God did. And then he says, are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than any of the waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed? So he turned and went off in a rage. Him turning and going off in a rage represented what?
He didn't believe.
He didn't believe. He thought he knew better than God.
Amen.
He was being rebellious at this point. Not wanting to obey what God was telling him to do. And friend, you may have felt that way at some point in the past. That you knew better than God concerning your life. Man, I think I'm hearing from God, but I can't believe God is telling me to do this. It just makes no sense to my mind. And that's the way Naaman was feeling. He thought that the prophet should have just waved his hand over the spot to cure him. And God was saying, no, dip 7 times in the Jordan. He thought he knew better than God. Man, why couldn't God ask me to go to one of the rivers in Damascus, Abana or Pharpar? Why is he asking me to dip in the Jordan? He felt like he knew better than God. In a sense, he was putting himself above God. And that was rebellion. That is pride. And let's not fall prey to that. Amen. As believers in Jesus Christ. So verse 13. Naaman's servants went to him and said, my father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more then when he tells you, wash and be cleansed? So he went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times as the man of God had told him, and his flesh was restored and became clean like that of a young boy. So between verses 12 and 14, something happens in Naaman's heart. What happens? Between verses 12 through 14, what happened to the heart of Naaman? At first he went off in a rage, thinking he knew better than God. And by verse 14, what happened to the heart of Naaman?
The Lord broke him.
He had a spiritual heart transformation. His heart went from being hard to being soft toward what God was saying. He decided finally to do what? To humble himself and obey what God was saying to do through the prophet Elisha.
Amen.
Verse 14, what does it say? So he went down, he obeyed, dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times. Not in Abana, not in Pharpar, but in Jordan. He obeyed as the man of God had told him, and his flesh was restored and became clean like that of a young boy. Is that good news?
Amen.
He had a spiritual heart transformation and decided to humble himself and do what God was telling him to do, even though it didn't make sense to his natural mind. God may be asking you to do something that does not make sense to your natural mind. All right? But around that step of obedience may be your blessing lying in disguise. Laying there in disguise. Is that making sense? Okay, Mark chapter 8, verses 22 through 26. God doesn't always operate in ways that make sense to us, right? Mark chapter 8, I'm preaching to myself today. Verses 22 through 26. The healing of a man, a blind man at Bethsaida. Verse 22 of Mark 8. They came to Bethsaida, and some people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. When he had spit on the man's eyes and put his hands on him, Jesus asked, do you see anything? I mean, that methodology to me of bringing about the blind man's healing makes no sense. Jesus spit on the blind man's eyes. He looked up and said, I see people. They look like trees walking around. Once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes. Then his eyes were opened, his sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. Jesus sent him home saying, don't go into the village. To the bystanders that day in Israel 2,000 years ago, watching Jesus spit on the man's eyes, they might have been like, man, this makes no sense to my mind. Why is he spitting on the man's eyes? Why doesn't he just touch him and pray for him? But the ways in which God operates at times, the things he asks us to do at times, doesn't always make sense to the natural human mind. So my question to you here today is this. If you know that you know from confirmation that God is asking you to do a certain thing with your life, but it doesn't make sense, will you still do it? If you do, like Naaman did, dipping 7 times in the Jordan, in a river he didn't want to dip in. If you do, you will be blessed. Is it possible that God is speaking to you to contact a certain employer that you had a run-in with maybe years ago, maybe a year ago, 2 years ago? You left on a bad note with this person. You worked for him, but you left on a bad note. And God is saying today, recontact this employer. And you're like, God, it makes no sense to my mind. I had a run-in. We fought a little bit. We got into an argument. I left on a bad note. And now you're wanting me to contact him? And guess what? Your blessing lies right around the corner of your obedience. This, you may be the person that this employer is looking for right now. It may not make sense to your mind, but do what God is telling you to do, and you will be blessed. Is that making sense?
Yeah.
Maybe God is asking you to do something you've never done before. Maybe he's saying, go to Mazio's and be a person who cleans up. Cleans the rugs, sets up the tables, cleans the tables. You're like, God, I have no experience in this area. It makes no sense to my mind. God, I've never worked in the fast food industry. And God is nudging you, do it, do it. Little do you know that God is wanting maybe to promote you to being a cashier, to finally maybe being a manager of that fast food restaurant, even though it doesn't make sense to your mind right now. But you know that God is telling you to do it, then do it. But you've got to, here's the key. You've got to know that you know deep down on the inside that it's God telling you to do it and not just your own emotions. Because a lot of people, what they'll do is they'll mistake their emotions for the voice of God. Is that making sense?
Yeah.
You may feel it on the inside and it's maybe your emotions talking to you, but you've got to know for sure that God is telling you to do this certain thing. Ask God for confirmation. Say, God, I'm sensing this and I feel like you're telling me to do this thing. Could you give me some confirmations that this is what you want me to do? And if you get those confirmations from God, and even what he's asking you to do doesn't make sense, do it! Because your blessing is on the other side of your obedience to God. Is that making sense here today? All right. We need to have unwavering dependence upon God and what he is telling us to do. Let me read this to you. An aviation cadet on a practice flight was suddenly stricken with blindness. Frantically, he contacted the control tower and told of his desperate plight. His commanding officer radioed back, "Don't be afraid, just do what I tell you." After being advised to keep circling the field until all was clear for a landing, the sightless pilot was instructed to begin losing altitude. As the aircraft approached the runway, the officer's voice called out encouragingly, "You're coming in right on target." The cadet, giving unquestioning obedience to his commander, brought the plane down safely. This cadet, this aviation cadet, had complete dependence upon whom? Upon his commander at the control tower. Who's our commander? Who's our commander? God the Father. God the Father is our commander in chief. He's in the control tower. Will we do unwaveringly what he is asking us to do?
Amen.
Because if you do, you will be blessed job-wise. You will be blessed financially. You will be blessed in your health, in your relationships, in every part of your life. But if you hear the voice of God and you know that God is speaking to you and you're like, man, this makes no sense to my mind, so I'm not going to do it, and you disobey, guess what? you won't be blessed. Instead, God forbid, you'll be cursed.
Amen.
All right, one final verse, Isaiah chapter 1, verses 19 through 20. Isaiah chapter 1. If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the best from the land. If you're willing to hear the voice of God and obedient to His voice, we can say, you will eat the best from the land. The land is whatever that may be in your life. Your land might be finances. Your land might be your job. Your land might be your transportation. Your land might be your emotions. Your land might be relationships. Whatever your land is, if you hear God's voice concerning any part of your life and you're obedient to what God is telling you to do, you will eat the best from the land in your life. You will prosper and be blessed in that area, in any area of your life that God is speaking to you about. But if you resist and rebel, in other words, if you don't do what God is telling you to do, because it sounds too crazy, you will be devoured by the sword. In other words, the curse will be attracted into your life. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Amen?
Amen.
I want to be the one that eats the best of the land. How about you?
Yeah.
I don't want to be devoured by the sword. So let's start doing, let's start obeying what God is telling us to do. All right, in our lives, you hear the voice of God, get confirmations, and line it up with the written word. And once you've heard clearly, don't just hear, but do it. Hearing God's voice is half the puzzle. The other half of the puzzle is obeying what God's voice is telling you to do. Amen?